Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Pray like this: Our Father who is in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom so that your will is done on earth as it's done in heaven. Give us the bread we need for today. And from the book of John, chapter 6, they ask, what miraculous sign will you do that you can see and believe? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, just as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.
How many folks here are familiar with the phrase rugged individualism? Yeah? How about self-made man, self-made woman, self-made human? Yeah? When I was a teenager and a young adult, Y'all aren't going to believe this, my favorite book was Atlas Shrugged. Really. I loved the idea of rugged individualism. Setting out, you know, go west, right? I mean, here I am, I guess. make something of yourself, kid. Go have adventures. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. All the things. I loved it. Oregon Trail, you know, that was going to be my life. Just without the dysentery. Some of y'all get that joke. But in this series, and really every week, praying the Lord's Prayer and thinking more about the Lord's Prayer is a reminder to me that that is a faulty ethos for a Christian. We are not self-made. And we can be rugged all we want, but we are not merely individuals. We pray to our Father, our God. We pray for our daily bread. Orthodoxically speaking, we don't really believe that we're capable of pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps, right? And we don't, orthodoxically speaking, believe that we actually deserve anything we have. That's counter to our culture in the United States of America in 2021. Orthodoxically speaking, again, we don't really believe that we are merely individuals. We believe that we are made to be in relationship with God and with each other. We're made for community. And praying the Lord's Prayer daily or weekly or hourly is a reminder of this. It's a reminder to me. It's not just me, you know? When we get to the first bit of the Lord's Prayer that references our needs, we pray for our daily bread, the bread we need for today. In thinking about this, N.T. Wright says that this part of the prayer is a demonstration, a reminder, a revelation that humans have needs. And those needs are supposed to be met. We get hungry because we need food, and we get thirsty because we need water. And you know what? We get lonely because we need each other. They're not bad, our desires in and of themselves. And God knows them, cares about them, and wants to meet them. Jesus told us, pray for your daily bread. God wants to give it to you. Wright also says that this part of the prayer is a reminder to us that we are supposed to pray for specific needs. Some translations of this prayer say, give us the bread we need for tomorrow. Right? If you pray for your daily bread, it could could mean your daily bread for a year. Your daily bread for life. Lifetime supply of daily bread. But that's not really what the prayer means. We're asking for enough, you know? And we're asking for specific needs to be met. But in telling us that we should ask for our daily bread, I think Jesus is saying, bring your needs and your desires to God, because God cares about you, cares about what you want. Wright also says that naming our needs helps to make us aware of the needs of the people around us, the needs of the world. You know, as we who like live and work in San Diego, California, I mean, our needs just for survival might be a little greater than other parts of the country or the world, right? Housing is real, but all of us sitting here, people who are watching online, like, are we really struggling to find our daily bread? Maybe not. And so as we pray for our needs to be met just enough for today, maybe it reminds us that there are millions of people, maybe billions, whose needs aren't met every day. And reminds us that we're a part of meeting those needs. So we pray this part of the prayer, says N.T. Wright, in solidarity with those people. And we lean into the petition that came just before this, that God's kingdom is brought to earth. In God's kingdom, I think everyone gets their daily bread, right? So we lean in. Hi, welcome. That was amazing, you guys. Oh, boy. That's a delight. Okay. We pray that God's kingdom is brought to earth, and God's kingdom is a kingdom of justice and provision where everyone's needs are met, you know? Joey and Corey, did you really miss that bicyclist riding right by you because you were reading books? Sorry, y'all. The hits keep rolling. For anyone watching online, a bicyclist just rode through our sidewalk, right through our congregation, which was already delightful in itself. But also Joey and Cora, the bicyclist, like the gorilla in that one video, passed right by them, and they were reading, so they didn't see him. And I am delighted. Okay. Albert Mohler, who is the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in, I think, Kentucky, says this part of the prayer reminds us, again, as I said, human need is real. The prayer isn't just about spiritual food, right? We're not just praying for some nebulous, ethereal feeding. It's not abstract. Human need is real. And if our spirituality, if our prayers are only about a hyper spiritual theology that ignores physical needs, it's because our theology has never had to come face to face with the horrors of deprivation. And so again, when we pray this prayer, give us our daily bread, if we're not praying for God to give everyone their daily bread, we're not, I think, praying the prayer in its fullest manifestation. But all that said, that we are to bring our physical needs and our emotional and spiritual needs to God, it is not just about physical bread, even if we need to cut out bread. Yeah? No? Okay. metaphor, bread is a metaphor for food, right? It's not just about physical food. It's also about spiritual nourishment. I'm reminded this week of all of the times that bread stands in for God's sustenance of our spirits. In addition to Jesus saying he's the bread of life, in John, we have Jesus quoting the Hebrew scriptures, humans don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We have Jesus offering his own body for our nourishment, which we remember in the breaking of the bread. We pray for all of our needs. And we hear that we do have spiritual needs, right? Christ says he's the bread of life. The people in the stories are looking for a sign, for something to believe in. And Jesus says, you believe in me, I'll never run out. I'll never run out, and you can trust that and rely on it. You pray for your daily bread. Your ancestors gathered manna in the wilderness, but I am the lifetime supply of your daily bread, spiritually speaking. And we believe that, right? We use physical bread as a reminder that we are nourished and sustained by God in Christ through the Holy Spirit. We need that daily bread just as much as we need, you know, 3 squares a day and 2 snacks if you're 2 or more. We know that we need both. They're not separate. Our physical needs and our spiritual needs affect each other. And we're reminded of that too in our prayer. Will Willimon and Stanley Hauerwas wrote a book on the Lord's Prayer. And I'll tell you, if you're looking for a challenge, go read Stanley Hauerwas. He's the most challenging theologian I've ever read, and I love him to pieces. He's so spiky. I love it. Y'all should read him. Anyway, in this book on the Lord's Prayer and about this section, they are talking about the Eucharist and how it is our spiritual food. And they say a person praying the Great Thanksgiving over the Eucharist might think, that bread looks suspiciously like the bread I had for breakfast this morning. At breakfast, I did not think that the King's Hawaiian was holy. Right, says the church. That's the point. Now, after praying this prayer over bread at church on Sunday, perhaps you will eat your bread differently on Monday. This is like a deep, perennial mystery and metaphor. We have needs that are good and human and holy. And y'all, King's Hawaiian bread is good, even when it's not the communion bread. But when it is the communion bread, we are reminded that our spiritual needs are important too. And they affect each other. When we are nourished spiritually, we think of our physical needs differently. When we are nourished spiritually, physically, maybe we can pay a little more attention to our spiritual needs, right? And when we are nourished, both of them, maybe that's when we can do even more. This one sentence, this one phrase in this prayer, give us today our daily bread. If you really, really mean it, it's difficult to pray. I trust God that you are going to give me enough for today, and I trust you enough not to ask for more. I trust you enough to ask again and again and again and again. And I trust that you will make me capable of doing the work that I need to do, or that you will put people around me, you know, to help meet my needs. And I confess that I don't always have that kind of trust in God. Now, I don't think this means don't have a savings account, you know? But I worry all the time about, you know, losing my house, or Josh losing his job, you know? I don't know that I trust God enough all the time to pray just for the needs that I have today, and to trust that when I ask again tomorrow, somehow my needs will be met. I don't know, but I'm working on it. But I do wonder what would happen if we really did trust God that much. What would happen if we trusted God enough to meet our needs so that we could be the ones who meet the needs of others? The Bible says, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I learned in seminary that with your strength doesn't mean like with your muscles. It means with your excess. Love God with the strength of your property, right? Your holdings. Love God with your excess. Maybe that even means excess joy, you know, excess peace, excess care, you know, for other people. If we really trusted that God really was going to meet all our needs, spiritual and physical, then maybe we would really partner with God to meet the needs of others in meaningful ways. I'm also reminded praying this prayer that there's a tension in our getting our needs met, you know? We believe that everything is a gift from God. All that we have comes from God. And also, like, we got to work real hard for it, you know? Genesis says we're going to have to till the soil and contend with the thorns and the verge to grow our food. Bread doesn't drop out of the sky. We're not the Israelites wandering in the desert. The one time I know that it did drop from the sky. We have to work for our food. You know? It's both and somehow, right? Willimon and Hauerwas in the same book book on the Lord's Prayer, they tell this story about some young adults, like college kids, who were at a Trappist monastery doing a retreat. And at dinner one evening, one of the young adults kind of blurted out at the table, "Hey, did someone give us this bread or did we make it?" And one of the monks said, "Yes. Both, and it's a gift, and we worked for it. Both at the same time. It's not either or. It's always both," which is wild. But this means, like I say probably every week, we are partners with God in the giving and in the receiving. And being partners with God to have our own needs met and to meet the needs of others is also a gift, a magnificent gift. We are God to other people. When our needs are met, when we trust God that our needs will be met, we can then turn and help to meet the needs of others. When we are physically fed, we can physically feed other people. When we are spiritually nourished, we invite people to this table, this metaphorical table and this physical table that is a spiritual nourishment. And we trust always that God is in the feeding and the sharing and the invitation, and that our partnership, we trust that our partnership will bear fruit. May it be so.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Leah. As you know, friends, part of what we've been doing each week as we gather together in worship is we've been really trying to be thoughtful about how can we tangibly respond to our worship experience on Sunday morning. Pastor Leah has given us a word about God's gift of daily bread and that focus on how we might be grateful and even trusting in that prayer for just enough for one day. And so here's the tangible thing that I would invite you to take on as a practice this week. And you might want to do this in the morning, in the beginning of the day. You might want to do this at the end of the day. You might want to do this somewhere in the middle. The timing is up to you, but I'd like for you to spend a few minutes to listen. To listen to God for two things. You know, very often we pray, we spend all our time talking, we don't spend a lot of time listening. So I want to invite you to spend a few minutes every day to listen for two things. The first thing to listen for is listen for how God is giving to you for just that day. Listen for how God is giving to you for just that day. But here's the other thing I want you to listen for. Again, a few minutes every day over the course of this week. I want you to take a few minutes and listen for God, for how God calls you to be an answer for someone else's prayer for just that day.